Sunday the 7th of June, Tezayin Sivan, Rabbi Shlomo Farhi, Koach HaKoloh.
The parsha is built of many, many different maisalach that fit seemingly one into the next in a very, very strange pattern. Normally you have a couple different things that they tie in together very simply, and there's a common theme, but in this week's parsha, there's so many different things, and they're coming from... And Fakert Chazal tells us that Dafka, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually inserts a piece which has no shaykhus seemingly to anything, and puts it in almost in what we would call parentheses. But there's one thing that I saw that I thought was a very, very important and Choshev Nikudas HaMusar. The parsha begins with the Nikuda of lighting the menorah. Ba'aloyscho es haneiros, el mul p'nei ha-menorah iru shiva saneiros. When you're lighting the menorah, when the menorah is being lit, so all of the wicks have to be facing towards the inside. You don't light the wicks on the either straight or even facing to the outside, which would give ostensibly more light. You light them facing el mul p'nei ha-menorah. So Rashi says, "Yiru shivas aneiros." Right, each one of them pointing lemul ha-entzoi. They face the one in the middle. Apsila shebehem v'chein shloisha amarovim. The ones on the east and the ones on the west. Each one faces in. Why the lama? Kidei shlo yomru le'oiro utzorich. In order that people shouldn't say that the menorah is there, the tafkid of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is le'oiro. People shouldn't say le'oiro utzorich. So the kasha is, it's a bit silly, isn't it? It's a bit silly. But there's a parallel to this idea. There's a parallel to this idea. Very well known fact. The windows of the Beis HaMikdash were built in the same fashion. What's the pshat? The Medrash says, why the windows built in the least constructive way possible, where they would be letting in light from the outside in? And the Medrash answers, shloyate oischo yitzorecho, that your yitzhara shouldn't fool you, shouldn't make you slip. Shehu tzorech oira. Look at the chalaynis, sheyiyu rechava ismi bachutz, vitzora ismi bifnim, kidei sheyiyu moitzin oira lachutz. Fakert. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't take oir, it gives oir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take oir, he gives oir. He's the mahus of oir. As I state. So the shaila is, it's very posh the shaila. Baruch Mordechai deals with this. It's such a piece. It's so noev yoeh to him. There's a havamina that Hashem needs the light. What does he do at night? Does he get lost? Right? What does he do outside the Beis HaMikdash? Harei, he's everywhere. It's Mefurish Uncle Moshi. Right? What does he do outside the Beis HaMikdash? Like, for those who thought that the menorah was loiro, it's such a silly havamina. What's the pshat? No, shloyato isa yitzorecho. We have to have the kalim, the psilis. We have to build the windows of the Beis HaMikdash in a certain way. Shloyato. What's the pshat? Such a mudna thing. So he says a gavaldik in the kuda. There are two types of yitzriyara. There's the yitzhara which comes from a taiva, that you want to do something. Something's being pushing you in a certain way. And this is the Yetzirah that comes from an akmimus haseichel. From the fact that someone he's not thinking in a straight way. There's something which is warped about the way he processes information. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is himself. Maybe it's loira. Maybe that's why we light it. Shilayata oiso yitzorecho. The whole nekuda itself comes from a twisted way of thinking. Now the emesis, you've all experienced this in some way, shape, or form when you're having a machlekes, disagreeing with someone. this nekuda of someone else saying a point that makes no sense at all. In fact, usually it's every time you have a machlekes. The other guy is saying something that pashut makes no sense. Have you experienced this? Right? What I'm saying is, what you say is pashut, that there's no sense to it. Shalayata oisa yitzarecha. In order to get away from this, we have to take all the precautions in the world. It's an amazing idea. Now, I want to leave this on the side and come back to it in just a bit, because it's, I think it's something which is an incredible musar. What does this mean? Shalayata oisa yitzarecha. The Parsha moves on with a nekuda of kach es alevim tech bnei Yisrael. The Levim had been chosen instead of the Bechorim, right? The Levim had been chosen to be this zibur that surrounded the Mishkan, that did the avodas of Mishkan, and they were going to be the ones who were going to be the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak. Anoint the Levim, take them to be for this Mishmeres HaKadosh. So the Medrash explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Levim. And it says, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu male es ha'odom, l'srora ad sheboichin uboidek oisoi. Until he tests you. And the Medrash brings all different examples of Avram Avinu, and then Yitzchak, and so on and so forth. And finally he comes to Levim, and says, Levim also. It's a fascinating thing. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, the Medrash says, the words of the Medrash, Midbarava, Mo asu b'toyro u'b'mila. They were moyes b'toyro u'b'mila. Avo shiftoi she'alevi kulam tzadikim hoyu. The shevet of Levi was tzadikim. V'lo yoid, ela b'shoa she'osu Yisrael es ha'egel, le'nishtatfu shum shvotoi she'shom shvotoi she'alevi. The shevet of Levi was not involved b'chlal. So the kashi is obvious. Shevet Levi is not the chlal negeah. There's no the sheep in Mitzrayim, the Yerida down in Mitzrayim, and Klai Yisrael's level doesn't affect me. Hayitachin. How's it shayach? You have a full. There's a full shevet here. They're in the dregs of Mitzrayim, and they're not affected. Try to be mitayer again. The scene at Har Sinai. Gans Klal Yisrael, not Gans Klal Yisrael, but they're dancing, and Aaron HaKohen himself is involved in making this egel, and people are Ela Lekecha Yisrael, everyone's getting swept up in this. And Shevet Levi is standing there in the same mishmeres, with the same goal, with the same umdino, with the same tafkid, and they don't waver at all. And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives the call, the clarion call, Mi Lashem Elai, right? Who's going to come, right? Strap your swords on. Here go Ish Achiv. Who's there? It's Shevet Levi. It's always Shevet Levi. How do they protect themselves? How do they buffet themselves? How do they buttress themselves against all this that's going on so that there's never a change. There's a single mind. There's a focus and they don't lose Bechlal. What is this Koyach? This Koyach comes from a Koyach of Hakara. What is this Koyach of Hakara? What's this koyach of Hakara? Hakara is not like a yediyah. You can know something and not be makir it. But you cannot be makir something and not act differently. Impossible. I'll give you nafkamina. What's Hakara Satoiv? Hakara Satoiv means I know that my parents, that my Rebbe, that my friend, someone did something very good for me. I have to be makir toiv. I recognize it. I can know that you did something good for me and continue to live in the same exact way. But I cannot be makir toiv to you and still live in the same way without changing anything. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's not what hakara means. We say it all the time in Aleinu. Again, you have to notice what it says there. Fakir. Yakiru v'yedu k'yashir seivu. Yeah? Yakiru v'yedu k'ilchot tichra kober. And what's the next line? Sorry? What happens after the all makir that's what should be done? They all do it. They all do it. That's the pshat. When the world knows and the world is makir, there's no escaping it. If you could escape it, you were not yet makir than the Kuda. Shevet Levi, even in Mitzrayim was makir what they were supposed to do. This is what we're here for. This is what we live for. There is no other way. Now there's a famous line. Famous line. Necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah, what does that mean? What does that mean? You figure that, you know, that you need to get something from here to there. It's impossible to do. You work on it until you invent the wheel. Right? You're sitting there with a bag of chollen beans, right? They're hard, you can't eat them. So someone invents fire and we have chollen. Lamashal, yeah? That's necessity is the mother of invention. No one ever invented something that's not necessary, although that's complete rubbish, right? Because it happens all the time. But at least in his mind, there's a necessity. And he's trying to be masmer to you, and you wonder what planet he's from, right? What possible use could I have for that? But necessity is the mother of invention. That's what it is. It could be the necessity is the fact that he needs to make money. But there's a necessity, which is goyrim invention, right? Today, we live in a world which is exactly the opposite. Invention is the mother of necessity. I have to have it because it exists. Right? But I'll go upon him. Normal, necessity is the mother of invention. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means it's not shayach for me to live with this lack, with this chasaron, so I invent something to make sure I'm not lacking it. Right? We had music on tapes. Eventually, you know, we had so many tapes. You couldn't carry tapes anymore. So they invented a CD. But then, yeah, I was laughing when they went from a CD to that mini CD for a tkufa, right? Like, is that the big problem that you can't carry that much around? Is this the great? And then they had an iPod that went from 4 gig to 120 gig. And I always loved that. On the box it says that you could listen to music for like 10 and a half days straight. Who is doing this? Right? But the point is, necessity is the most, it's goyrim, it's... It turns out then what you have to decide about your priorities, about your Torah, about your Yiddishkeit, is not that it's good, it's that it's necessary. If it's necessary, Kim Jengeben hates it. We'll figure something out. If we haven't figured a way out, Al Korcha, it's not necessary. A Hakara is automatically linked to a change. David Levy is sitting there in this gruesome huma and everyone's getting swept up in it. But David Levy, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's nothing. There's no Mashiach. The Yitzhara has no Shlita because they already came to that Hakara. A similar scenario we find by Miriam. Miriam is at the end of this week's Pasha, she's Mitzorah, she's Mitzorahs. And God's Klal Yisrael waits. And Rashi brings the Medrash about why the Ummah didn't travel. And he brings down over there a fantastic Nekuda. The Medrash says that the reason why they waited for Miriam is because Mida Kineged Mida. She waited for Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore Klal Yisrael waited for her. It's one of the strangest Mida Keneged Midas I've ever experienced, by the way. If you look in the Rabbeinu Bechaya, of a note, he says something amazing. He goes and he tries to be mazmer, it's as if you didn't never heard of Mida Keneged Mida, and he tries to explain to you, and he tells you that by Asholem, because, you know, he was with the 10 Pilakshim of David, so then they threw ten things at it, and because there was three Levavos that he stole, so then they took three spears and they pushed the three spears through his heart. Three, lave. It's like incredibly meduyak. And then you have the Mida Keneged Mida, and he fears us. So also by Miriam, the Chaimotim Miriam Shemadullah Mida Keneged Mida. He him Tina Lamaisha Shah Achas. She waited for Moshe an hour right by B.R. She never by Titatsev Achoisamirach like Lefikach Nisakh will call Yisrael Bishvila. Therefore, Gans Kla Yisrael waited for her. Vim Tinu Loshivas Yomim. So one more time. Because she did something that every single human being in the world would have done, therefore an entire Ummah of millions of people waited for her, not Shah Achas, but Shivas Yomim. How is that Mida Keneged Mida? The one has nothing to do with the other. If you were putting your son or your brother or you into the water and it was uncertain and you're crying, you don't know what to do, you're just going to go home. the mida keneged mida. The teretz is something gevaldik. You have to understand, not that Miriam stayed there. That's pashit. Every one of us would stay there. Every one of us would watch to see what happens. But what's conspicuous in its absence is that Miriam is the one that stays, and Yecheved and Amram go home. So what's the pshat? There must be something here. There must be something that Miriam did that was yoytzim in akal, that didn't make sense. And that's what she's getting paid for. And the emes is that if you try and see the matzav in the way that it is, fakert. When Miriam is leaving, he calls Miriam a Nevi'ah in the Medrash in two places, in three places, talks about this Nevi'ah Miriam that came to her father. Miriam comes to Amram and she says, you know what, we're going to have the Mashiach from Klal Yisrael is going to be born into our family. And they know, and all of a sudden the baby is born and the bias is Nismale Oira, and Amram looks at her and he says, he kisses her on the head, he says, Iskayim Nebuasech. The God Lador, Iskayim Nebuasech. He gives her his stempel of Kashas, you're a Nevi'ah, Iskayim Nebuasech. And then 3 months go by, and the Gzeira is in full swing, and they take the baby down and Shtel Zachvor, exactly what's going on here. You know, as they're preparing the basket, as they try to imagine taking the baby down. It's a pellet. And finally they're sticking the baby into this hopeless matziv. They can't even look and they go home. But Miriam stays there. Why? She wants to see what's gonna happen. She's not curious. She's not curious. She wants to see what's going to happen in the same way that Yaakov Avinu says after Yosef's dreams, V'oviv shomar es hadovor. Yaakov givus, Yaakov knew that this wasn't a game. He knew that something was happening here. V'oviv shomar es hadovor. Miriam had a nevuah, she was in nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to her something. Everyone else goes home because the story's over. It's so painful. They walk away. Miriam stays to see what's going to happen. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself communicates to you, this is Moshiach Shel Yisrael, it doesn't matter what the scenario looks like. It doesn't matter that everything is it. Hashem said. The Mefarshim explained that that's the pshat by Avram in the sign of Avram Avinu. What's the grace in the Nisayon? He comes to Hashem said, and the Amazbir Vayar es Hamokoy Mirachik. Avram, in preparing for this Nisayon, he comes, but he doesn't feel this. It's unclear. Vayar es Hamokoy Mirachik. He felt that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was far away from him. Lo Yitzuri understood there was a Hakor would have been easy, but he felt that it was wrong. It can't be. It's against everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I learned, that I know, that I taught. That's the koyach of Hakara. When you know something is emes, when you know something is necessary, then everything else just melts away in front of you. The Levim could be the Levim, and Miriam could be the Miriam that she needs to be. It doesn't make a difference what everything else, that's what it has to be. If this Hakara is the Hakara of Miriam's Nevi'us, that's why Klal Yisrael waits for her. It's not a payback of Sha'achas, that she was a Rachbon. It's the Hakara that made her into someone that's worth waiting for. The Psukim continue with the story of Klal Yisrael in the desert. And there's something there which I think is unbelievable. There are different nekudas that they're complaining about. The pasuk says, "Vayisru mehar Hashem derech shloishes yomim." They traveled from the Har Hashem 3 days. The Medrash on this pasuk says that they traveled 3 days away from Har Sinai in one day. That's why we have to have a hefsek in the parshas according to Rashi Shita, because they ran away from Har Sinai. Terrible thing. They ran away from Har Sinai. The pasuk continues and it tells us about this thing that they are doing. What are they doing? They're misoinim. They're complaining. And Rashi says, "Ein misoinim." The lashon misoinim means alila. They're complaining about this. They're tining. They have tinus about this and about that. And Rashi doesn't say what it is. In a few psukim, we talk about another complaining. And in that complaining, it says, "Va'asafsof asher bekirbo is avu taivo." Vayoshuvu vayitku gam b'nei Yisrael. Vayoymer miyachileinu basar. Who's going to feed us meat? The first time they complain, doesn't say what they're complaining about. The second time they complain, what does it say? Who's going to feed? They're complaining about meat. The Medrash in the Tanchuma says that the meat that they were complaining about was not meat. They had meat. Mamon tasted like anything they wanted. They had also tzoinim bakar. You know the meat they were complaining about? The she'er basar. They were complaining about arayas. And this pshat is borne out in the psukim, in two psukim where it says, that the am is boichel mishpachosav. They're crying about she'er basar. But the problem, l'chayr, is poshet. What in the world does it help to bring slav if they're complaining about arayas? If the pshat and basar is basar, fine. But if the pshat and basar is she'er basar, how does it help the chlal? More than that, there's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Akiva, who held that the pshat in the psukim is al pi pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "How are you going to feed them meat? You're going to bring all the fish in the sea? Wouldn't be enough." Rabbi Akiva learns al pi that Moshe doubted Hashem. It doesn't make sense. We can design if the seim will anise him. No. So I think the pshat here is poshet. In describing the first complaining, Rashi says that they were mechapsim alila, mevakshim alila, eich lifresh ma'acharei ha'makom. They didn't have a complaint. They were murmuring. They were kvetching. And when you're kvetching, it doesn't matter what you're kvetching about. They want to be kvetchers, so they're kvetching. There's a mitzias to a kvetcher. There's a mitzias to a person who's a negative person. You take that away, it'll be something else. The first misoinim there was nothing there. The second one is miyachilenu basar. But from the first one's megala on the second one, what's really happening here? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel says that Klal Yisrael understood that there was nothing behind the Avodah Zarah. The only reason why they worshipped the Avodah Zarah was because Lahatil Lahem is Arayas Feresia. Exactly what the Feresia is another shmuz. But right, Lahatil Lahem is Arayas Feresia. They wanted to do something, so they invented Avodah Zarah. They invented this. They invented Miyachileinu Basar. They invented kvetching. That's pshat, I think. Moshe Rabbeinu turns, after all the things that Klal Yisrael goes through, and he says, I can't anymore. Am I going to be carry the child by myself? Hashem gives him Shem Skenim. Why from this, Moshe's doubt in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same as Moshe's statement that he can't carry Klal Yisrael by himself. When a person's a mensch, when a person's a grown-up, can man handle him with them? What do you need? Let me see if I can work it out. I'll speak to Hashem on your behalf. The water is bitter. Ena chanami. Let's make it sweet. Fine. But when Klal Yisrael was kvetching, when Klal Yisrael asked for meat, and it was clear that it wasn't about the meat, what Moshe tell Hashem is, when you're going to bring them all the meat in the world, it's not going to help. Hashem, how are you going to satisfy the needs of a kvetcher? It's not shayach. He's not kvetching for any reason. All the reasons stem from the fact that he's a kvetcher. all of these things come back to one nekuda. Mil meinin, we think in our own lives that the sionis that we go through are difficult because of themselves. And the emes is posh, not true. The difficulty in getting over something, in becoming something, in doing the right thing, in being honest, or being nice, or being mizrashi with the next person, comes from our ability to overcome that nesayin. It's poshit, not true. It's poshit, not true. The koyach comes from something else. The koyach comes from the mitzias of understanding, of being makir, what you have to do. We spend so much time on the action of it and not, we don't chop that if everything was, if there was a hakori here, that it was kihem chayim, that there was no other way, what are you talking to me about problems for? One of Rav Shalom Shvadron's famous maizalach, he always used to tell over, was a famous story of Meirka. Always used to talk about Meirka. One day he goes outside and he sees a baby crying, a child on the floor. He knocked his head and there's blood gushing from his face. So they grab him a towel and Avshalom is running through the streets of Yerushalayim holding this boy with blood dripping off of his face and he's trying to get him help. And there's this old woman coming the other way. Who is she? She's Meir's grandmother. And she sees Avshalom over the distance. And she says, you know, Vetzayim good, Vetzayim b'seyde, Vetzayim good, Daigenish, Davish's all helping. She's, you know, heaping on, you know, the standard lines. Davish's all helping, Davish's all helping. Thinking that's Rav Shalom's kid. He gets closer and closer and closer. And what does she see? She starts shrieking. Meirka! Gewalt! They used to say, Gewalt! Meirka! And you know what? The windows open up on the side of the street and the neighbors shout out, Daigenish, Vetzayin good, the Eibishter's all helping. That split second when everything changes is the second of Hakara. Chirapt. This is mine! It changes everything! And the mice, it teaches you about the musig of caring about somebody else, about being nice of oil. I think it shows you an incredible nekuda. How much is Tali in here? It's not even about courage or strength. It's about brains. That one tiny second, that Ani Yosef, in every person's life where it changes everything. I deal all the time in my position with kids who come from homes, come from backgrounds where they're not from. There's nothing there at all. Sometimes they come for Shabbat. It's so beautiful to see a family and singing, who sings around the table, right? Who, etc., etc., who has time for their children. And they love it, it's beautiful, and they get involved and start teaching them Torah. There's one moment which is worth its weight in gold, and I wish, and I hope, and I daven, you should all see it once in your life, at least, hopefully many, many times in your life. There's the minute where a look of absolute terror comes over your Talmud's face. And that is the minute when he realizes that Yiddishkeit is not nice, it's true. I always yell out, the Eibishter's a elfin. Oh no! It's not nice. I didn't have a choice to do it. Ein atah ben chayrin liyipotim mimeno. Try and imagine living your life with a hakara. There's no other way. There's no other mahalach. There's no other option. The greatest problem is not, I think, the Yetzer that is mata, that pushes a person in his maisalach. It's the Yetzer that pushes the person in his deis, in his havana. How important is bittul Torah? How important is Lashon Hara. I always wondered about this. I think that's the pshat, all the Gemaras that tell you about how important mitzvahs are. Essentially, the game doesn't make any sense. Because if you go spend all your time telling you how important all the mitzvahs are, so they're all as important as each other again. So then you're back where you started. Like, Lava Malka, oh my gosh, forget about it. Shalashis, wow. Yeah? Lashon Hara, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed only because... Sinas Chena, what the Gemara is trying to do is give you a hierarchy. It's trying to give you a hakara of what those things do. You would never in a million years stick your hand into a blender. Do you ever have a taivet stick your hand into a blender? The nafkamina in sticking your hand into a blender and doing an aveiro is totally in hakara. Nothing else. If we only understood. This is such an important nekuda that we build and we the Beis HaMikdash and the menorah around that as well. The la'oiru tzorech that a person might make this groiser. You want to do something else, you have an igiyus, you have a taiva, his avu taiva, the taiva was the taiva itself. The kvetching was the kvetching itself. It's hitting the reset button on the way we view the world. That's the koyach of Hakara. And for me, this is the gresta musar. If only we could see that the mitzvahs and the averus were over egen Americas, suddenly everything changes. And the nesyonis that we thought were impossible, I'm finished with this. The Mishnah in Ovis talks about this Yashrus Halev. Right? A Lev Toiv. I had a girl come to me once and she wanted to know about Shidduchim. She's going out with this guy for such a long time and now and does and yet. What's she going to do? What's she going to do? She doesn't know. She doesn't know how he's going to be like this. She doesn't know what's going to be. Right? That's the whole point of dating. If Shidduchim is to find out how the person is in so many different scenarios, but she doesn't know about this, and she doesn't know about it. How's he going to be? I told her, I said, Ezechtzi, you'll never know how he's going to be. Do you know how he's going to be if he has an accident and chops off one foot? How's he going to be if he only has one leg? What happens, right? And then you find out, Chas v'Shalom, how's he if he doesn't have two legs? But you're going to try and figure out, you're going to chop off his leg? Just to find out, that's not Shaykh. Find the guy that his leave is toiv, and maybe you know what everything else is. You know how he would react in Azaz Sort Matzev. When the Rebbe wanted to know, the Gres, the Mida, the best Mida, the Mishnah answers, Lev Toiv Roye Ani es Dvorov, because everything else comes from that. I think it's a chiv in today's day and age more than ever before to work on this slave, because our priorities are getting attacked from every single side. And if we could only have that Lev Toiv, the Havana of what is good, L'havdu bein ha'or bein ha'choshech, then everything else would fall into place. Kim'at me'elo. Shmerach. Yeah.